The King is exalted on high. The word that the Lord wanted to give forth was this. Some of you receive it. If you will stand, save the Lord, and worship me, I will bring my glory as I did in the time of Jehoshaphat and rout the enemies around you. If you will stand and worship me, save the Lord, and not move from the place of worship, I will turn the enemy back and drive them from before your very face. If you will stand and worship me, save the Lord, as I call my people and my priests to stand and worship me, you will see the glory of the Lord as a priest in the time of the building and the completion of the tabernacle of Moses and of the temple of Solomon. If you will stand and worship me, save the Lord, and be in that place to never be moved from the place of worship, my spirit will come upon you and will speak to you. And from there, I will launch forth, as I did in the time of Acts 13, verse 1 and 2, the apostolic ministry of Paul and Barnabas. If you will stand and worship me, says the Lord. Let's all stand and worship him for some time. Thank you. Thank you. Give me an A. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As we worship, let's continue to worship. And Shalom, you can come right up here while we worship. Be Shalom while we worship. Just special for him. While we worship. And take your position. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Let him soak in the energy. Let him soak in the energy of worship. Oh, keep worshiping. The Lord just wants our worship. We are not controlled by time or schedule or anything. We just want to worship him. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we worship you. Let's continue to soak in the energy of praise and worship. Exactly here. Just enjoy the presence of God. All we want to do is enjoy the presence of God as we worship. And Shalom, worship God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everything within you, just worship. Forget about your situation, forget about healing, forget about everything, but just worship Jesus. Take your position. Take your position. Thank you. Yeah. Jesus be in our mind. Let only Jesus be in our heart and our mind. Let only Jesus be in our thoughts. Let only Jesus be in our consciousness. Oh Lord, we worship you. We give you worship. We give you praise. We give you honor. Allah Gabase. Allah Selyashia. Shalahu. Allah, a canopy of worship be upon your people. Allah, a malakase. Allah, a shalamashe. Karamasanadase. Keep worshiping. Oh, tonight, all you have to do is stand and worship. And you're transformed. You're healed. You're changed. That is how the Lord wants to flow tonight. Just worship Him. Halle, 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 halle. Kalabasha. Kalasiria, telabasana lama. It's not a regular service. It's not a regular word. We're not flowing along with the Holy Spirit. We will just stand and worship. We will just stand and worship. We will just stand and worship. Halleluya, kalabasa. Oh, Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. We stay and we worship you. Let your glory, let your glory light upon your people as we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Allah Gabase. Allah Gagashe. Allah Gagashe. Allah Gagashe. Allah Gagashe. Allah you. We stand and we bless you. We stand and we worship you. We stand and we praise you. We stand and we adore you. You are the beginning and the end. You are the living word. You are forever the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, you are the same. Allah Gabariate. Allah Gabrabashe, Gabrabasha. Open your eyes, the eyes of your people. Open the eyes of your people to see you in your glory, to see you at your throne, that they may worship you in spirit and in truth. Allah Gabrabashe. 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 Aramasarabase, Kalakabashe, Dalabashtarabasa, Kalakakase, Teria Telea Salala, Lassele, Elanene Gasele, Kakasha, Kasha, Lasse, Teria Sa. Aramashalabasyalabas Elegangangangalakaseria telekabas Elegangangangangaselekabrabashtoramas Eriadalamusho Asharamusho Kelikase Galako kalasehe Tedekaso lekamusho telea Aramashara Masiara Lamas Lulu Mastiara Lamas Alamasi ala la kabrabashti alamasi alamash kalamashti ala la mastura malang kabrabashti agabashti ala mushu alamasi ala la masala mare kalabashti ala la bash alamane kalamasi ala la masta Alleluia la ga 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 seria trias la da da kia talas ara mosto ravale atria talabas ara ravas ono ravas la stara mosto thank you lord thank you lord oh we worship you oh we worship Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. That we stand, Shalom, and dear mother, and of course the wonderful maids and servants, and Joshua and her family has always been a part of this church, and we thank God for all the visions that God has been showing of Shalom standing and walking and all those things, and we want to draw the faith of the entire church and even those who are here. That one of the most important things when you pray for a person. Remember last time I thought about how it's more important to believe first, and then let the manifestation take its time to come. And before the manifestation come, of course, you seek the best medical help, the best doctors to relieve your symptoms and all that you can. So we work together with doctors. And but what is wonderful is the visions that God has shown. And one of the most important things as we wait upon God's wonderful miracle in His own time, God takes His sweet time, or God accelerating, does not matter to us, because one thing, the whole family is, as far as they know, is they just want to love God. And so the Shalom, that's all that He ever wants. But one of the most important things is to remind each one of us about how God built Abraham's faith through his eyes. Through his eyes. For 20 over years, God says, look at the dust. And every day when He see the dust, says, these are your children. Look at the stars. And every night when you see the stars, these are your children. And look, today, thousands of years later, the physical children of Abraham are numerous. And the spiritual children of Abraham in Christ are even more. What he saw came to pass. It just took time. And when we believe together with the whole family and stand together with them, the most important thing is to exercise the eyes, the inner eyes, to see Him standing. You don't see Him in the natural. You see Him standing. You see Him walking. You see Him praising the Lord. And every day when you wake Him, the floor, sweep the floor, remember, oh, that's Shalom standing and walking. Every night when you look at the stars, there is Shalom walking along in the moonlight, the starlight, and strolling along a beautiful street, and he's walking, and he's running, and he's worshiping the Lord. It is important to see. And that's how we put our faith together as one. And the Lord wants us to do this, especially tonight, and put our faith together. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands on Him. And all join your hands and or stretch your hands forward. That will do. Stretch your hands forward as one people, and with the mother too here, holding Shalom's hand. We bless Shalom, and we thank you, Lord. Continue, G. Thank you.
Yesterday, today.
Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Jesus never glory to His name. Watch as angels record this day. Father, we thank You for all the visions that You have given regarding Shalom. And You know all that Joshua and Grace, the whole family has gone through, the trials, the tests, the hopes, the sunken hopes, and the revivals, and the comfort and encouragement, and the rise and rise again. We did not ask for this, Father. All we did was just to love Shalom. And to love the family. But yet in Your mercy, You've chosen to reveal to many, many people. Myself, to Janet, Lisa, and many, many others, some who are not even here, who have once been here, even they saw visions. And we know, Father God, that before us stands a need of a DNA healing. And we want You, Father, to know that we believe the visions as much as we believe the written word. We believe the spoken word as much as we believe the written word. And Shalom too, Father. You know his heart and his life. And we thank You that thus far You have energized him, his organs, his tissues, and his muscles. You know, Father God, that deep in his DNA, it's a fault line that needs to be repaired and restored. Only You, Father God, can go into the molecular area and the molecular level to move the atoms and the molecules or substances of the cells and the stem cells that have been produced in this physical body. Thank You, Father God, that all the energizing that is in this place will release, Father, upon this physical body. But Shalom inside him is dancing and worshiping and praising You. And soon this soul and this physical body will also be released. And Father, we make no demands on You, because we know You are Almighty God. But we just bring before You the visions. We will act in accordance to the vision. And so does His whole family, and so does Shalom. He is willing, Father, anytime. Like the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's willing to give his life to You, and he has lived a good life and willing to return home to You. He never asks for all these wonderful things that You're showing. He just wants to live his life and be satisfied and bless his home and family. And he's willing. And just like the three Hebrew boys who say, we know our God is able to save us. But even if He does not, we will still love Him and worship Him. And that has been the decision of Shalom and the whole family. We know, Jesus, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in one touch of Your hand, a finger, even the glands of your eyes. Every bone and tissue and cell in this body will move in perfect position. Almost like the planets revolving around the sun, the stars revolving in their places in a galaxy. Because every molecule, every planet, every substance in this universe is under the power and rule of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you have given Shalom so wonderful life thus far in strength and energy. We thank you, Father. Let it be unto him according to your word. Of the DNA being restored, of him walking to be one of the disciples of Jesus in his second generation end time. And we thank you, Father, you have even shown his future soulmate and all that you desire in his life, because you're a good God. And we just come to you as a church and as a people in oneness with this family who has suffered so much, to believe in them and say, thank you, Father. Let it be unto Shalom according to the visions. Let it be unto him according to your word. And even if he were not, we will still choose to love you and worship you, because we just love to surrender to you. So give the whole family peace and love and joy while we wait on you. Even right now, to cut the roots of the DNA and to begin to do DNA healing. Because you said that you're going to turn the rod into snake. And you are going to, Father, bring fire down from heaven and consume even things that you want to judge. You're in charge of all the molecules. You're the one who parted the Red Sea. You're the one who turned a rod into a snake. And it's so easy for you to just speak and whisper your words and create new DNA with perfect cells, so that there's no more muscular dystrophy. But every cell in this body, the DNA, will be combined perfectly and respond to your presence. We thank you. And each time Shalom comes, he receives a measure, and 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 a measure. Thank you, Father God, for all that you have done, all that you do. We just give thanks to you. We just give thanks to you, Father God, for all that you do. We praise you, we worship you. Let it be unto Shalom according to your word. We praise you and we bless you, Lord. Praise you and bless you. We will worship the Maker of all things, Almighty God. You are voices say, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. You are the Holy One, Father, Spirit, Son, King of kings and Lord of our lords. Hallowed be, hallowed be, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be, hallowed be. Let your will be done, let your kingdom come. Amen. Hallowed be, your will be done, your kingdom come. Would be, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be, hallowed be, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be, hallowed be, hallowed be, hallowed be, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be. I sense a quickening in your left leg. Thank you, Lord. Let it be quickened. Let it be quickened. Hallowed be. Hallowed be. Hallowed be. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be. Hallowed be. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Amen. Thank you, musician. Worshiper, you may be seated. Shalom. You can go back to your place. Amen. It's God. It's a special place for you in America service. Hallelujah. And what you saw is this, that besides being apostle, evangelists, we are also pastors. And as a pastor, we care for every single sheep. Every single sheep. We're not like the evangelists who fly in and fly out. But we care for every single one. Plus, the other thing is this. We are not afraid of praying for any manner of sickness and disease. Especially when the Lord tells us to pray. Because we have the exact right message from the Word to understand this mystery of healing and how God works. And one day people will look back at this time in the future as Shalom one day is going to go around the world and he's going to teach. And is that there? Okay, is that? Okay. And so tonight, I'm going to talk about the time when you start believing and the time when you things manifest. You saw it in Abraham's life yesterday. When we talk about Abraham, between the time that he believed in Genesis 15 and the time that things started to come to pass in Genesis 17 and 18, there is this time gap. We need to understand what happens during that time gap. And I'll talk about that time gap. And what happens during the time gap. Sometimes the time gap is short, sometimes long. But you will notice this. There is a law that I saw in the spirit. God took me into the dimension of the spirit to understand some of these mysteries. And I saw that even when the time gap is very long, that actually something is happening every day. Some sort of spiritual energy is being accumulated. It is just like water vapor going up constantly. When you see the clouds are formed by water vapor. And then when you see thunder clouds, there's a lot of water in the air. And it gets more and more dense in the air. That water has to come down. So sometimes water that goes up forms rain clouds and they come down very fast. Sometimes it takes time for the water to come down. But every molecule of water vapor, which is hydrogen oxide, H2O, is important. It's important. And when you look at the rain clouds, you know that there is a certain critical mass it reaches. Sometimes it looks like it's going to rain, but it doesn't rain. It just needs just enough, and it's too heavy for the cloud to contain. Then it just has to let go. Once they start the cycle of the water droplets forming into from gas into water, then it is what I call a cataclysmic effect. It began to affect all the other molecules around. And then more, and then the whole cloud just rains and pours down. Water. But when you reach out into the cloud, I mean, but not all of us have a chance to reach out. Don't try that on a plane. But when you're on a high mountain and the clouds come, and you reach out to the cloud and you try to hold the cloud, you can't feel anything. But yet, in that same cloud, is enough water to drench an entire city or village. And if it were possible, that if you're on a plane, not advisable, this is only a hypothetical situation from a science point of view, that if you're on a plane, and let's say it's an open air, and you reach out your hand to even touch a rain glass, which you should not, because there might be also lightning, which I didn't talk about. I know. But if you were actually going to touch it, you will still feel nothing. And even when the clouds are raining rain, and you're on top of the clouds, and let's say you could still somehow turn the plane sideways so that your hand can reach to the cloud and feel the cloud, you will still feel nothing. Just as you cannot feel water vapor, you can only feel when water vapor turns into water. Not when it's a gaseous state. So, it's telling you a principle. That when the time of manifestation, the word manifest means it's feelable, touchable, seeable. When it comes, it comes. And even when the process is happening, you might not know, realize, you might try to touch, hey, what is that substance there? You can't. Because it's a spiritual substance being materialized like the water condensing in around water. So we have a glass of water here. If there were ice, but there's no ice. But we know if there's a temperature difference, it's fresh water. Thank you. If there's a temperature difference, temporarily, okay, you can see that. You can see that all the time. Can you see it's blood? But it's because of the temperature difference that the air that comes from my mouth has contained a lot of water, and it's hot because it's body temperature. As it touches the edge of the glass, it condenses. You can only see when it condenses. But when you breathe, you can't feel the water vapor. When it condenses, then you can feel it, you can rub on it. You can touch the water. They accumulate at the side. In fact, that's one of the desert survival techniques. Is to be able to dig a hole and build something over the hole. And then the condensation of the air would drip. And then you have at least a little bit of water condensed throughout the night. From the air itself. So we realize that there is, just as there is a natural principle, it actually speaks about spiritual principle. And Abraham is not the only one who has this gap between him believing and him actually receiving. Okay? Let me name a few. Joseph, how old was he when he had a dream? This quiz should be easy. Hey! How old was Joseph when he had a dream? 17. How old was Joseph when he stood before Pharaoh and became the right hand of Pharaoh? 30. It was exactly 30 years old. 13 years. 13 years for a dream that God gave. A dream is like a vision. But when it's time, it is time. Do you know God knows exactly how old, right to the, you know, if it was like the Star Trek data, you would know exactly to the year, month, week, hour, a minute, and second that Shalom will be standing up. But the Bible sometimes record round figures. And God knew that Abraham was going to be a father at 100 years old. But God didn't tell him, because God told him, very discouraging. Say, wow, so long. Instead of saying, wow, I'm going to live that long. So there was 13 year gap. Now, how long between the time that David was anointed king before he was king? And let me tell you when he became king. Don't make that too much of a quiz, otherwise you have a quiz headache, then we're going to come and pray for you after that. He was about 33 years old. He was 30 years old, and then he ruled. He was 30 years old. He ruled. Actually, he was 33 years old. Yes. 33. 30. Okay. He ruled. How long did he rule? He reigned 40 years. But over Judah? 7 years. Now he ruled over all of Jordan for a time of 40 years. Which means the first 7 years, he ruled over one state. And then for 33 years, that's why I got 33 years, he ruled over all of Israel. And he became king at the age of... Why this quiz is so hard? Well, we need more quiz. The only thing we don't know how old he was when he was anointed. Most likely in his teens. So if he was in his teens, let's give and take. I think 17 is a good figure since Joseph was also 17. 16, 17. That will make him about 13 to 14 years before the prophecy that he's a king come to pass. Can you see the timeline of God? But isn't it wonderful that he's exactly 30? No coincidence. Now, how old was Moses when God sent him to the Israelites? Well, this one should be encouraging for most of you. 80 years old. How long ago did he knew he was called, based on Acts chapter 7? Definitely by 40 years old. And how long has God promised the Israelites that he will come and visit them? 400 years at the time of Abraham. God keeps his promises. But can you see that there's such a thing as the fullness of time? Now, you say, well, all these are Old Testament. Well, it's still the Bible. Why you want to chop the Bible off? Right? The Old Testament is still relevant. The stories are there. But let's have some New Testament stories. Paul was converted in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. Paul became an apostle in Acts 13, verse 1 and 2, when the Holy Spirit sent him up. According to chronology, which is not in your Bible, but when you calculate, Acts chapter 9 will be plus and minus around, let's say, 80, 35 or so. And then by Acts 13, it's about AD 45, 10 years later. 1 year before AD 45, if AD 45 plus and minus was the time that Acts 13 was 1 and 2 took place, 1 year before that, Barnabas went to look for him, to ask him to help pastor the church in Antioch. Now, when did Paul knew he was called to be a preacher, to serve God full time? Acts chapter 9. Because in his testimony, in Acts chapter 24 and Acts chapter 26, he said, God make him a minister. And he was describing the Damascus vision. That was 10 years. Now, did he try to be a minister? Yes. He tried to preach, but no one wanted to listen. Remember, the only audience he had were people who wanted to kill him. And remember how they had to lay him down in the basket, and that was even 3 years later. They still didn't receive him because his time has not yet come. And let me wrap this message and tie it to yesterday. See, we do things differently. Sometimes God wants to worship, then have us minister different things and bless Shalom first and bless different things before the message. Sometimes the message comes right at the end, sometimes at the beginning, sometimes. And it's important for us to flow with the Holy Spirit. And this is what some of you are learning to sense in the Spirit. During the time of worship, there's a little bit of struggle. And then I think because the soul was too concerned about the time and not concentrating enough to God. Now, we need to be concerned about time and all the same, but it should be way down. And when we worship, we worship. And the arrangement in miracle service is different from Sunday. Sunday, they give me a signal. Miracle service, I say, you just keep worshiping, I'll take over when I want to take over. So it could be early, could be late. There's no set time. So what do worshippers do? Do they prepare? 15 minutes, half an hour. No, they just have to prepare. If I take my time, then it could go 1 hour. If I don't take my time, God lets me 20 minutes, I'll interrupt them. So it's different. Different flow in miracle service. You have to flow with the Holy Spirit. And I could sense that everybody was sensing time. And that was a little bit part and where it hindered the worship. But then the heart was good and the worship continued. And then there was another part that added to it. You could sense there's a certain part even in the worship part. And then later when I take over that, there's like a sense of a burden. And that sense was because God wanted to bring some prophecies in some word. He need not use me to deliver the word. He could use anyone. We'll give a prophecy or an office of prophet or prophetess to deliver the word. So we give a chance. So when that word was not delivered, as a leader, you got to take everything that's there to give and then operate it still. Yeah, what was for the people is for the people. And then if they don't obey, you take it and you still operate. It's just like if someone speaks in tongues and no one interprets, then my responsibility as leader is to interpret. And that's the responsibility of leader. And so then in the end, after the word was delivered, we follow the word. You notice a change in the atmosphere. Listening to the Lord is the most important thing. Because a service, a miracle service, and a miracle service is more like spirit-led service. Let the Spirit do what He wants, which means it's more important to listen to what the Spirit wants to do than to follow schedules. And then you can please the Lord in that manner. And so we learn to flow with the Holy Spirit and do what He wants. He could, like yesterday, He does a healing at the beginning instead of at the ending, which is the general format. But a miracle service is a service where the Holy Spirit takes charge. We just have to let the Spirit do whatever He wants. And Jesus takes charge. We let Jesus do what He wants. We just flow with Him. But the most important thing is to be able to hear Him. Listen to Him. Do whatever He wants to do. And there were different things that were happening during the worship. I saw different things happening. And the reason why I got you to worship, remember I said that even if you've been touched, you've been healed, and all those things, and God especially wanted to just bless our my spiritual son, Shalom. I energize him. But during the worship part, many of you were being energized. And remember I said that during these services, even you're healthy, your youth is being restored. And that was happening to you during worship. And I did not want to mention it, otherwise you pay too much attention to it. I just wanted you to just be blessed. A lot of interesting things happening. See, God doesn't just speak to one person in this revival. Many people are seeing visions and all that, which is an interesting thing. And one of the most interesting emails that Deborah just sent to me today, right? She was shown a square box, and inside was written heavenly writing. And she's right here, so she bear witness to the email that she wrote to me. I'm just quoting. And then I told her, because I didn't have time in this miracle service, I'll pray and ask the Lord and interpret the one. And then on this square box thing, there were letters. But the letters are not English or anything, it's a foreign language things. And then the voice, you heard a voice or word that told you that Maybe I'll let you share that part. About, because that part is about renewal of youth. And it's very important. I already got part of the interpretation. I'll let her share that part. Because it has to do with the renewal of the glorious church, the physical body. And there's a mystery there. Oh no, now you can share testimony, prophetic word, and everything. I give you the time. Okay.
Right. Continue what he said.
Okay.
So, is this a, it's not a box, but rather a, I saw a rectangular piece of something, but I don't know what material. Symbols? I do not know the symbols. Okay, I don't understand the symbols.
And that was last night, right?
No, on the 4th of October.
4th October, okay, yes.
Okay. Then the miracle service is 3rd, right? So this I had it on the
4th. 4th, okay.
Early morning hours. And then somebody asked me to photocopy this piece. Let's photocopy. Can a photocopy heal me of all disease? Because the word given was, if I get this thing photocopied to me, I will be healed of all diseases. No disease can touch me.
Amen. So I hear that part again. No disease can touch her.
Yeah.
When she absorbed that one.
Yeah, I said, how can a photocopy, how can that photocopy to me? And so, that's what I asked. And then the boy spoke to me and said that, you have to, something, when the boy spoke to me, then one of the symbol lit up, so it's bright. And then he says, you can get this imprinted into you. Then you are protected from all diseases.
Mm. So everyone say, amen. Okay, thank you. Yes.
Right. Just encourage her. Pastor asked, anybody has a prophetic word? I didn't have a prophetic word, but I have a miracle today. On Wednesday, when I came here, I was not well. When I came in, I wasn't well. So I asked the Lord, I said, why do you allow this flu? It's a flu symptom. So why do you allow this sickness to come upon me? Then the Lord, I felt an answer, an impression. He said, everything that happens that's allowed is for your good. Then I answered back, I said, how can you allow sickness and say it's for my good? So I didn't understand, but a little while later, then I realized that, I'm supposed to fly today. I'm supposed to fly to Washington today.
Okay.
Right? Then I said, oh dear, today I'm sick, but I didn't see a doctor. So how do I get, it's over. I said, by tomorrow I may be healed. So even if I see a doctor, they cannot certify anything wrong with me, and therefore I cannot cancel my ticket, and I cannot recover the cost of my ticket. So, but never mind, I just said, never mind, it doesn't matter. Okay, I've really missed it. And so I said, wait till tomorrow. So Lord, if you really want to help me and turn this to my good, then I leave everything into your hands, So, but before earlier that, I also told my sister, because my sister and I, we bought the ticket. And this thing was canceled. So I was thinking, oh dear, we can't recover anything. It's just a sheer loss, because we cannot even change the date to next year. Okay, it's just a sheer loss. So I told the Lord, we have come to a decision. It's quite a bit of money to lose, but it doesn't matter. Okay, I'm going to count that as a seed planted into the kingdom. That's all. I'm not going to be annoyed about these things. And then I just went, then the thing came, he said, it's for my good. So I said, why? How can it be for my good, you see? Then I said, okay, if tomorrow I'm still not well, I'll see a doctor, And true enough, on Thursday, Nelly and I, we met up with our ex-pastor, just for fellowship. Then while we're talking, then suddenly I remember that he was working at the diocese, the Anglican Church, and usually I asked him, where do you normally see a doctor? And he told me, Shalom Clinic in Bras Basah Complex or another clinic somewhere else. So after, when we finished meeting with him and he left, then I decided, I'm going to see a doctor. Okay? So I went to this clinic and waited for nearly 2 hours before the clinic, because we were shut for lunch. So I waited till it's open. Went in, and then the first thing, and we prayed, Nelly and I prayed, and Nelly prayed for me, and we asked for favor from the doctor. When we get there, the first thing the doctor asked me is, do you need to travel, I said, yes, I'm supposed to travel, on the 7th, which is today, this morning at 12:35 a.m. Then he said, then no problem, I'll just write a letter to ask the airline to reschedule you. And that's it, So I said, give me that letter then. So he gave me the letter. I sent the letter into airline, and today I got a reply to say that they're going to refund not only my ticket, but my sister's ticket as well. Wow, it's just like that, So we just give praise, It's a miracle for us. So I also believe that when we just entrust everything to God, the main thing is not to be angry or to you know, over the laws or anything like that, but just to entrust everything into God's hand. And say, Lord, even if this thing happened and even I suffer loss, I'm going to believe in restoration in some other ways. You know, whatever you want to do, I let you do, you know. And I'm going to trust that everything is going to be happen for my good. And if we come to that level of faith and trust in Him, I believe everything will turn out well. And that's for Shalom as well. The clinic is named up.
Shalom. Shalom's clinic.
Yeah, Shalom's anyway. Clinic.
And your flu is gone, eh?
I just believe that. I told Nelly, I said, I'm going to see a doctor. By Saturday, I should be okay. You know, that's it.
Amen. So the smallest thing the Lord is interested in. And the biggest thing He's interested in. Interested in DNA healing, interested in healing of cancer, interested in healing in every area we can trust our Lord. But that vision of that rectangular thing with the words and the voice that say, or the words that say, if she could absorb this, no sickness can ever touch her again. That's an important thing. Because there is, and I will interpret the thing later, there are some details on it that I recognize from the heavenly language. Let you know.
I can't remember the
symbols, I know, but some of them. Some of them, I know, are slightly different, but quite close. But you're a prophetess, and the Lord was bringing forth the word. And the word, which comes in a form of vision, which is to be delivered to the people. And the word is that this revival and this healing revival that God is bringing will be so powerful, it include not just authority and power over all sickness and disease and over all demons, as in Matthew 10 verse 1 to the disciples, and in Luke 9 verse 1 and 2 to the disciples, but also an atmosphere around you, such as no disease or sickness can even cross over. It has to do with the glory of New Jerusalem. So this again confirms that which God has begun to do, which God is doing. And in these 2 weeks, as we seek and soak in, like I mentioned, during the worship time, God was doing some things, adjusting things inside your DNA. And when you all were helping to pray along with Shalom, while visualizing, your DNA was changed just as you released energy for His DNA. See, as you pray for others, so are you blessed in the same manner. We need to understand that, as we mentioned, that unbelief and belief can, number one, live in the same person. Mark chapter 9. And He says, I believe, have my unbelief, said the father of the boy. And then, we talk about how that you can start in faith and then you might go up and down because you got doubts and all those things. But in the end, by the author and finishing of Jesus of your faith, He brings you to a point where all the doubts disappear. As in the life of Abraham, as in the life of Peter. That when he was walking on water, he had faith. When he doubted, Jesus says, oh, you a little faith. But Jesus pulled him up again and they walked back to the boat. Those stories we told last night from the Bible. But we also need to know this. And that will be the third point in unbelief. That unbelief has different layers and different qualities. I won't turn to all the scriptures, but I just point to them. In Mark chapter 6, the unbelief that was in his hometown was so terrible that Jesus could do no mighty works. And he says, he even marveled. The unbelief was so great, he even marveled at such audacity in his presence to have such unbelief. He marveled at the unbelief. And then in the Gospel of Mark chapter 16, he rebuked his own disciples for unbelief for not believing the people's testimony that he was risen from the dead. After all, he told them many, many times. But their unbelief was a different quality. But they also had unbelief. You'll find it in Mark chapter 16. Jesus actually rebuked them for their unbelief. And that's when he said to them, if you believe, these signs will follow those who believe. So he said, get out of your unbelief and get into a state of believing. Then these signs will follow. Now notice, the signs follow the believing, not you follow the signs. So you believe and the signs follow you. So which comes first? Belief. Then manifestation. Belief and then the signs. And of course, you saw in Mark chapter 9, the quality of the unbelief in the Father was a totally different level. It didn't get a rebuke from Jesus, but Jesus knew he still had to be dealt with. Nor did it sort of was shocking to Jesus, like Mark 6, the unbelief in his hometown. So there are also different qualities to unbelief in a person. But unbelief is still unbelief. And you have to admit, in today's society and today's modern Christianity, unbelief is like a shirt that everybody wears. Because when they are sick, they don't seek God first. They reach out to natural first. And here's the thing about the unbelief. All the unbelief, the different qualities that I talk about in Mark 6, Mark 9, and Mark 16, though they occur to different people, the unbelief that hit different people differently. Some have unbelief like a handkerchief, some have unbelief like a shirt, some have unbelief is a total covering in the entire atmosphere. Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, remember that? And that was something like what the whole town had. But all unbelief has a common denominator. A very common denominator. You find it in Matthew 14 when Peter walking in water. You find it in Mark 6 among his hometown. You find it in his disciples in Mark 16. You find it in the father of the boy in Mark chapter 9. One common denominator that we dealt with yesterday, but we didn't mention the common denominator. And that was, they consider their senses. They consider the natural above the spiritual. Which is why I quoted to you 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 yesterday. To look at the spiritual and not the natural. But I didn't have time to emphasize that the common denominator in unbelief is looking in the natural. Relying on your five senses rather than on your spiritual sense. Now, many of you know 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, therefore, your only man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. We all know that verse. But do you know 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7? We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith, not by sight. You don't depend on the natural, you depend on the spiritual. And I mentioned a bit yesterday that great men and women in society, in any field, have relied upon their dreams or what they can do in society or what they can invent or what they can create that will change the society and the world around them. And even more, great men and women in the spiritual world and in the Christianity have been people who believe in the spiritual, who hear the voice of God and obey the voice of God. And in the simplicity of the belief in their visions and in the voice that they hear, especially the voice of God. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. In the simplicity of just believing that voice, the vision that God gave. Because God still speaks to people today. Yes, we have the written word, and yes, we still got the spoken word. And both are important. As God told Kenneth E. Hagin, he says, faith believes my word, whether it be my written word all my spoken word. Because at that time, Kenneth Hagin was not believing the spoken word, the visions that God gave him, or to obey the inner prompting in his heart. See, you have to obey or be led by the Spirit, which means you have to hear the voice of the Spirit. And were not the disciples led by the Spirit? How did Philip know where to go? An angel told him. How did Philip know which chariot to call upon? The Spirit told him.
They were led by the Spirit. How? When did Paul and Barnabas started their mission journey? Acts 13, verse 1 and 2. When they were praying, the Holy Spirit said, correct? They could hear the Spirit. They could hear the Holy Spirit. So, great men and women of God are not necessarily the most well-educated, although we encourage education. Even if you don't have education, you still can do a great work for God. Great men and women of God are not necessarily the high society or those who are rich and mighty, powerful, influential. It could be a simple folk like a plumber, like Smith Wigglesworth. Of course, it should not be a disadvantage to you if you're well off and everything. The most important thing is the ability to hear God and the simplicity of hearing God. Against all odds, against all that society is saying, against what even your local church is saying, especially your local church is so traditional, they don't hear God's voice anymore. Against what your friends or family are saying, when you know and is supported by the written word, of course, not something wrong, but something really supported by the written word, and is truly a spoken word of God, and believe at all odds, and you hold on to it, and you obey, you will come out as a Moses or an Elijah, or an Enoch, or Paul, or Peter, because you learn to hear God's voice. This is what our church needs today. And so that completes that teaching part about unbelief and all those things. And then I can finish off this point about understanding now is important to believe when God speaks. And then there's a gap between belief and manifestation. Between believing and the signs following. There is a gap. Sometimes the gap is small, sometimes it's large. And I mentioned this. Some of the greatest power demonstrations of God in the Bible have taken decades of accumulation to sow. Do you know why Abraham became such a great, mighty person so the New Testament keep talking about him? Because of the fact that he took 20 over years. Yes, he faltered a little bit, a few unbelief in there, and I explained he can't exist. But he won the race. He fought the fight. So that Romans chapter 4 even says that against all hope, no more hope, he hoped in God. Against all circumstances, he still find that he believed. Some part of him believed. Now, even though he has some unbelief, when God spoke to him, he laughed. But there was an anchor of belief in him that he comes back to. And that's what it takes to walk the walk of faith. And we are at a time when God is accelerating many things, which is why this message is important. The gap is getting closer, and we are living in what I call significant time of these end times. It's not just end times, the end of days. The last of the last days. The last hour past midnight. I'm the voice that cry at midnight. We're way past midnight. And this 7 times 7 years is exactly after fullness of time. God says, when it comes to put in a sickle, count 7 times 7. So the seeker has been thrust forth. And so we need to understand this gap. And what happened in between the gap? Between the time you believe and the time they manifest. Let me throw one more scripture. Mark chapter 11. It says very clearly that when you pray, believe that you receive. Believe that you receive. And you shall have. Notice, the shall have is a future tense. That's a manifestation. But the heart believing, the heart must believe and not doubt, is in your present and continuous tense. Let's have a look at Mark chapter 11 again, because it summarizes some of these things that we say before we lay down those points that we have. Mark 11, verse 23-24, God says, have faith in God. Or the Greek says, have the faith of God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, present tense, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. Lambano is there. But, it's not synchronized. Oh, I just did it, but it didn't appear. Okay. Let's, Hey, it's on. COGPC is on. Yeah. Hey, it's a tick there. Yeah. Okay. Turn on. Okay. Things to do with computer, huh? Have to do turn on. Okay. Turn on. Because yesterday, while it was still doing the little circle thing, it came out. And today, it's doing the little circle thing. Oh, if I touch anything off, it goes off. Okay. I'm going to leave it on. No. Okay.
I think it's not.
Okay, we got it. Okay. So, there we have the word receive, there is the word lambano. And I have the Greek too. Let me bring up the Greek, which is down there. A bit small for you, but it's there. And say that faith in God. Okay, things that he say. Verse 24 is the part that we have that. So here's the word that I believe, pistiate, and then that you receive, and you will have. This estai is a future tense. And so when you pray or when you ask, believe that you receive. That is there. Now this receive is lamba nate. And we don't want to go too much into the Greek, but it talks about like you consider it done. Consider it done. And then from then onwards, you hold fast to the fact that you consider it done, even though you don't see it yet. Because you notice the other part is future tense. Let's not look at the Greek, let's look at the English, it is future tense too. He say the part, you will have them, you will or you shall have them, you shall possess them, as estai, which is future tense, that means you don't have it yet. Can you see that there's a different point between believing and receiving? Now here's a mystery, God show it to me. You know what happens during that time, in that gap? And this is what God told me, that if something takes 25 years, the impact is greater than if it take one day. Because all the energy is going somewhere. It's just like if it takes a longer time for the water to stay in one place in the air and accumulate, that thunderstorm that is coming is going to be huge. It's a deluge. Because it is going somewhere, it has to come down. And it took them a long time before the first miracle started in the Exodus. You know how long the people have been crying out to God? 40, 100 years or so. And then from the time Moses was born, hope started. Moses was 80 years. So imagine, the mother that gave birth to him knew that this child was special. If only she knew 80 years later. Then she see the miracle. Wow, everyone very discouraged. Like, what, 80? Wow, you know, 80 should be what, great grandpa by now. So, and so you realize that things take time. But look at what happened. When, and even Moses was eager to get things done. At 40, he knew he was called. But things still delayed 40 years. For 40 years, let's not talk about the mother of Moses. Let's talk about Moses himself. Right? Shorter time. Talk about mother Moses. For 80 years, always don't listen already. So 40 years, shorter, right? four decades. 4 times 10 years. In the wilderness, as he was taking care of the sheep, he believed his God. He believed all the words that were passed down to him. Remember, up to that time, they don't have written word. They have only the oral tradition passed down to them. And they all knew that God would set them free out of Egypt one day. But all the accumulation of the delay, every day and hour, there was accumulation of energy. You know what happened to all the energy? All those energy was used to do those powerful signs and wonders that has never happened anywhere else in the Bible. So you can imagine if something takes time, don't be discouraged. When it comes, guaranteed thunder, lightning, earthquake, earthshake. Because it's too strong, the energy. It's an accumulation of energy. So a delay is not wasted. The energy goes somewhere. It goes somewhere. And you will return in a greater and greater measure. But the secret is to understand what happens in between, in that time. Why the time? And I'll give you the reason. The three reasons for that time. Never spoken about it before. First reason, God has his own timeline. Even Jesus has to wait until he was 30 years. Jesus was eager to do ministry. 12 years old, he was ready. Right? At 12 years old, if you read what happened in the Gospel of Luke, he not only asked questions, he answered the questions himself. See, he was asking and answering. He already got the wisdom. He could have done it at 12 years old. But he had 18 more years to go. And 18 years of submission to parents who are very natural. In fact, he got a scolding from his parents. Say, where are you? We've been looking for you a long time. You're lost, you know. You know how worried we are about you. Not typical parents. And then Jesus turned to them and says, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Did Jesus ever get spanked? No. No one dare lay hands on him. If he did, that would be considered part of the cross. Right? So when he went back, and he says he submitted to them, because it was not time yet. And I'll give scripture, beside that story, I'll give the scripture from the book of Revelations. Every point, I always like to give scriptures. And in the book of Revelations, when the fifth seal was opened, he saw the souls that died in the tribulation. And then a voice that cried to God, how long, O Lord, how long? Holy and true, unto you judge and avenge our blood. And then the Lord says, rest a little while longer until the number of your fellow servants and the brethren will be killed as they were. Was completed. Some things are not completed yet. See, so many died not completed yet? No, not yet. See, God holds some things that he knew need to be complete. So some things are what you call, and you have another verse there, fullness of time. There's a fullness of time. Even on an individual basis, sometimes within Jesus' 3 years ministry, He has to know where to go at which time. His headquarters was in Galilee, but sometimes he has to go down to Jerusalem. And then his brothers were pushing him, a natural brother, to say, if you're the Messiah, go and show yourself, because they didn't actually believe at that time. And then he says, my time has not yet come. But then, when the feast was going on, he secretly went because the Holy Spirit then only told him to go. So he has to know the timing to do everything, when to show himself, when to remain in Galilee. Jesus has to be obedient to God. Jesus has to be obedient to God, just as we have to hear God's voice, he had to. And there is always God's perfect time to do all things. So the first reason is, God has his schedule, fullness of time, and some things that are not complete, that must complete. Sometimes God keeps that a secret, sometimes he reveals a bit. But there will be God's time. Not too early, not too late, just right. And by the way, he's not the last minute God, don't you dare call him that. Why you think God always wait till last minute, then wait. Ah, now I do. No. God sometimes is faster than us. He's way ahead of us. And he has his timing. That's all. The second reason for that time gap is the enemy. Remember the unjust judge. In Luke chapter 18, the persistent widow was there, and it was persistently coming against the unjust judge. Under the unjust judge, had to yield. But we don't just rely on a parable in Luke chapter 18. We rely on Ephesians chapter 6 that tells us, in Ephesians chapter 6. So, three reasons. One is on the side of God. And sometimes something is completed in God, then he's still waiting for the timing when he will wipe the devil out. Like what we call, between the first part outpouring and the second part outpouring, remember what we are saying? The judgment has to take place. And that one, we step aside and we wait till God does his job. And so there are some people who don't have much time to live now. So in Ephesians chapter 6, God's going to bring judgment. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us in verse 12, he mentions there is a warfare against the enemy. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. May I bring to mind the fact that he's using the illustration wrestling? And you know what wrestling is like, right? It's not a fight, not a different type of fight. It's the word palei, which is like from palo to vibrate, another form or to talk about wrestling. Now, in a wrestling, it's like you will come face to face. Whereas in a boxing, the only contact you ever make is a punch. In wrestling, you could be arm to arm. You could be holding on to the person's body. That's the word wrestle. You have come into contact with the enemy. And you are pushing the enemy outside. Like the sumo wrestler. Boom, boom. And then they got this circle. And I think, I don't know all the rules of sumo wrestling, but they have to push the guy outside the circle or something, or outside the line. So whoever could push, and that's why they eat until they're so big, so very hard to move the mountain of meat. Right? How many of us can push, even a big man, you know, if he's 400 pounds and sit down, how many of us, you know, I'm only 70 kg, you know, to push this, maybe another 200 kg man. Way hard to push. But that doesn't mean you all have to look like sumo wrestler. To wrestle with the devil. So you go be a dynamite in God. And so all you have to do, you know, is just to wrestle. You see, do we actually come into contact? Not in a full sense, but it just is illustration show how contact is made. So when he talked about wrestling with the enemy, he says, take up the whole armor of God. Then he talked about the pieces of the armor. The girdle of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, and helmet of salvation, sword of the spirit, and always praying, all prayer and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end, with all, and notice the word, perseverance. See the word? Perseverance. Which is the word there that means persistency. That ties with the judge. Where Jesus is not talking about the faith that says, that's it, no need to do anything more. But the faith that is persistent, constantly announcing, you know, avenge me! And the judge has to, you know, yield. That persistency is what he's talking about. Not against God. With God, you just make your request one time, God hears it. Then remember the Old Testament story of Daniel. Remember how when he fasted 21 days. Remember what Gabriel told him. He says, on the first day you pray, God already answered. But he took 21 days to reach him. In between was the prince of Persia. And Michael the archangel had to come. And then Gabriel came. 21 days later. So what happened in those 20 days of waiting? You think nothing was happening? No, something was happening. And every day that Daniel prayed, Gabriel was being strengthened. And this very odd vision, and this person is a cute guy, you know, in East Malaysia, and he has some vision, but his words and vocabulary, not our biblical kind, but he's just saying it like he is. And so one day he was talking, when I was visiting Sarawak, and sitting, and he's talking to me about this vision that he had. And he says, oh, some of the people's angels are like undernourished, no strength. I said, what angels got undernourished? I never see underfed, undernourished angels, you know, like the South Africa where your bones can be seen, you know. I said, what do you mean undernourished? And he said, oh, because they are guardians over people who don't pray. So it seems that when people pray, the angels are energized. And you know it's in the Bible. When Daniel prayed, Gabriel was caused to fly swiftly. Somehow, part of our energy is needed. Now, undernourished should not be the best word to describe them. They are not undernourished, they are well nourished. But they are not chubby either. You know? Yeah, they are well nourished, but not fat, no chubby. Anyone see fat angels? If you saw a fat angel, it's either your eyesight not properly focused, or it might not be an angel, it could be an angel of light. But if an angel like appear, why should he appear so chubby that you know cannot be an angel? You know that like the big giant fellow and the two wings are smaller than the tits wings. Now, that's just not proportional. And all these are sometimes our imagination, you know, play up and all those things. But angels are as they are, but it can be proof that they draw energy from us, or more or less like they themselves don't need our energy. They can exist without us, but to help us, they take the energy that we release and it is somehow used by God to bring things to pass. Remember also, that's from the book of Daniel. You can also look at the book of Revelation. Remember what the 24 elders and all the angels carry before God? The prayers of the incense of the saints. It was one of the ingredients necessary to bring back judgment on the world, to bring back power, to push back darkness. It's in the Bible. You see the principle there. So our prayers are important. Our persistence is important. Without doubt. Remember. Without doubt. Do not doubt in your heart, Mark 11 says. And the second reason It's because even though you see nothing happening, there's a lot of things happening. If you could go to heaven and you look at what has happened tonight when we prayed for Shalom, you will know there was some spiritual dimension transacted. That would be very important to the future of how the healing takes place. Even though you think when nothing happened, a lot is happening. In the 20 days that Daniel was waiting and praying, and you know, if our angel Gabriel did not come on 21 day and came on the 40th day, he would have still been praying. Because he was determined to pray through. Until it was explained to him what was the full meaning of the prophecy and the timing of the prophecy. So the first reason is to do with God. Second reason has to do with the enemy. What's the third reason? It has to do with the person that you wake up in the morning and see every day in the mirror. Mark chapter 11. I'll tell you what's happening. The third reason. Remember I'm talking about, you know the subject I'm talking about? The reason for when you believe and the gap when it manifests. First reason is sometimes God has His timing. And it so happened that the timing is close, then you see things happening fast. But it so happened that the timing is a distance, like you live in the time of Anna, the prophetess, and Simeon, a faithful elderly man, who was told by God that he would see Jesus before he died. He lived when Jesus Christ was just born. So he could not be a disciple of Jesus. But yet he could reach the fullness of what he has. They could pray, and then later on, some people sow, some people reap. By the time the disciples came, they were reaping a lot of the prayers of Anna, the prophetess, and Simeon. Because they're sown in prayers. So we are right now reaping the prayers and the dreams and the desires of the church for 2,000 years to see Bible times again. And when Bible times come, you know how people pray for it? And you know, some people say, be careful what you pray, because when the answer comes, you might not be happy. And people are praying, and then, you know what Bible times are? Angels appear, visions here, things happening. This is exactly happening right here. Nelly's son saw Michael, Gabriel. Aruel has met Michael the archangel. And you have met some of the watchers. And you too have met Angel Uriah and some of all the others. And all the... You say, all these people are not getting familiar with angels. You say, how can? You say, how can? How can? In the first place, is your hand having epileptic fit or what? You pray for it. You pray for the Bible time. You desire the Bible time. Except that God might not be using you or you or you, but God used someone that you don't really care or like or whatever, or group that you're signing. Then these things started happening, and all the biblical things start happening. Biblical things start happening. We have transportation and more things are going to come, and then one day this stick is going to turn a snake, and the biblical things coming, and before that happening, God began to encounter angels. Now what happened before Moses do the sign? He encountered angels, correct? An angel in the burning bush. And 1, 2, 3, 4, we experienced a transfiguration on January this year, 11 to the 14. Things that never been heard before. And people say, how can, how can? You pray for it, you desire for it. And that's what Bible times are like. And it's going to have an effect on our natural life. And the third reason why sometimes there's that gap is because, first is because God has His schedule and timing. Sometimes can be far, sometimes can be near. Sometimes there's the enemy who is stubborn. Like remember when they could not cast out the demon from the boy, you know what they should do? If the enemy is stubborn, you're also more stubborn. Having done all, you stand. Which is what Paul said. When you've done all, you stand. The enemy stand, you stand. That's called wrestling. You don't actually wrestle. You don't have to go, you know, with the devil. What do you think? What should the devil do that for you? You don't hold the devil ways. No. It's just an illustration that it's eyeball to eyeball. It's like, you know, okay, it's like straight. You know, if the devil is near, if the devil stands, and then he goes. He doesn't move, you don't move. Eyeball to eyeball, that's the most wrestling you ever do. But you know what most people, they don't even dare to look in the eyes of the devil. Or the devil will say, boo, and then you go, ah! They don't dare to stare eyeball to eyeball against the devil. So the same, when they cast out the demon, demon want to move. You know what Jesus said? What was the solution? This kind come up for, not but fast and pray. You should not be talking or anything. You should concentrate. Fast and pray. He said, don't bring food. Don't bring anything. I'm not going to eat. Other he moves. Other he moves. Oh, I don't eat. He moves. I don't sleep. Tonight all night prayer, don't sleep. He moves. The devil will have to move. Because your persistence is greater than his. And that's called persistent faith. You're not letting go. And history is full of men and women of God who have hold on in persistence to the things that God has spoken. Didn't Daniel hold on to that and say, Lord, remember your people 70 years ago. You promised. You told Jeremiah this was happening. It is time. Persistent. It's not letting go. But the third reason is very important. First, God. Second, the enemy. Third, our own spiritual growth. Sometimes God cannot answer because we are not where we should be spiritually. Now, you want to make sure that the delay is not number one, is not number two and three. Number one, you cannot do anything. But you want to make sure that the delay is not number two, the devil, or number three, your own spiritual growth. Because you need to grow. Now, that spiritual growth is based on, we are in Ephesians chapter 6, and I just want to finish reading the words that Paul mentioned. He says, stand therefore with your waist girded with truth. And he keep repeating in verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, having done all, to stand. Can you see that? That means don't move. So that's how you face the enemy. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is the third point. Because this is actually happening that we cannot see. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand. You need to understand within yourself that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That's why Paul said he keeps seeing the invisible. That every day that Abraham see the stars and see the dust, the frame. And you know what the word frame means. And it's the word kata tizo, to complete thoroughly. But it also means to join together perfectly. To prepare, to fit, to join together. So there are some things, and here talking about spiritual frame. The frame must be done. When they build a building, they always must put the frame in first. Before they put anything else. They build the frame. You see, whether they build it by prefabrication, and then they lock the frame in, or they slowly build, you know, with steel and cement. They build the frame. Then when the frames are completed, then they start building the walls and then the furnishing on the inside. The frame is the most important. And what happened is that the frame is being formed in the spiritual realm, the dimension of God, before it's birthed forth. but the place where it's birthed forth is you. Which means that you need to grow to be able to bring it forth. The Bible talks about the loins of our mind. Loins is where your reproductive organs are. Loins of the mind, the word mind is the word dianoia. And that is the visions that God is giving. The frames are being built. And when the frames are completed, then only the other parts start coming. Now for the frames to form, God requires the sub-point of 3A, your spirit man must be strengthened. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, it says that he prayed that the spirit man will be strengthened so that Christ can dwell in them. Christ dwell in them not in salvation. Christ's presence can be more powerful in their life. So it's important to have the frame of your spirit man. And then when God answers, frame by frame, it comes true. Because everything will come through your spirit man, especially when it pertains to your life and your calling. How large is your spirit man? Do you know why it took 20 over years for Abraham? Through him must come all of the physical descendants of Abraham and the spiritual descendants. Millions and millions and millions and billions of people until the last day of the rapture when the last one is won, which is billions of the sons of and daughters of Abraham spiritually. Everyone are counted born through him. Didn't God say through him? Very specifically. That means God has chosen his spirit to be the birthplace to bring it forth. God has chosen your spirit that through our spirit is birthed forth and carrying 6 billion souls. And then it will go to strengthen, let's say, Israel and Abraham and Jehuda and each one of you. Then, and supporting you all spiritually from behind or in front. And then you are birthing for, let's say, you got 3 million, right? Right? 3 billion. And the rest of the other 3 billion that you guys have to carry. And then as your carry is passed down the line. Through our spirit. So your spirit doesn't expand. Like, how fast can they build a building if the hole that is to bring all the resources is only about 1 feet by 1 feet or, you know, let's say one third meter by one third meter. It's very small. It's going to take a long time. Imagine you need to build a skyscraper. It's going to take a long time. But if you have, you know, the most important thing in building projects, which next time we'll be involved, and we have been longer talking about it, in Malaysia, we were almost going to be a 5,000 sitting building, then 10,000, and then 20,000, before they go and sold off the 5-acre piece of land, which was planned for that. But anyway, we're going to build that white building that's almost time, and is 3 Malaysian to 1 New Zealand still, still on, so the time has come for the white building. Time for all the resources to begin that. And that is where we're building the 100,000 seating building. And that's going to take place very soon. In fact, the time has come. And all the resources are going to come. And the thing about buildings is this. Buildings. When I used to talk to architects and sit around, we were discussing planning 20,000. You know, we were aiming to build a 20,000 seating building in 3 phases and all that. One of the most important thing is where to put everything when it comes. Because you cannot be building here and digging at the same time. You need a lot of surrounding land to put all those things around. When Noah was building the ark was roughly nearly 1 kilometer long. And you can find it in our downloads page on all the description of what cubit mean in those times. Cubit was larger in those days than our historical times. Nearly 1 kilometer long. Now, he cleared land of nearly 5 kilometer by 5 kilometer. Because of all the wood that has to be treated, all those things. See, you need the space to bring the materials and resources that doesn't touch on the very place that you're going to do all the renovation works and the building works. Otherwise, the job's going to be very difficult, very slow. Your spirit man is the key. Frame upon frame, your spirit man is strengthened, A. B, as your spirit man is strengthened, the energies that God has in the dimension, because there is what I call a duplicate you up there, what I call your OS that is there, that is being framed into different things. Like a chamber of things being created. Your own special chamber of things being created. There is a private room for each one of you in some spiritual dimension that is yours. Actually, you're close to where your mansions are in the spirit because there are multiple dimensions. Where every dream, every vision, every prayer of yours become a part of that mansion, a part of your history. And even as you grow, it's being created. And so in the spiritual realm, that is where the things are being framed. And then when something is ready up there, shoom, it becomes here. But it must be framed first. No baby should be born without being fully grown. No fetus should be aborted. Because when you go premature birth, some organs are not formed properly. Could be the heart, then you got congenital heart problem, or you could be the liver or different organs, and then it's very hard for the baby to survive. So sometimes they go put in the incubator to let more growth take place. Because every organ and tissue must be formed and framed properly. That's the third reason for the timing. You want to make sure that if there's any gap, the only gap is number one. And you're waiting on God. But not number two, where the devil say boo and you just ran outside. You stand your ground without fear, without trembling. If you tremble, it's only before God. You stand your ground and the enemy has to move because that is yours. You will have to drive the devil away and the demons away from your land of Canaan. I just want to inform you very politely that your land of Canaan is infested with Canaanites, Jebusites, parasites, termites, and all the ites. You are the one who's supposed to drive them out. He said, but God say land of milk and honey. Yeah, but milk and honey also attract insects. You are the one who must drive. So if you're not brave enough to drive out, you will die in the wilderness. If you're brave enough like Joshua and Caleb, you will get your own land. Just like Caleb's asked for the mountain. You know what Caleb asked Joshua? Say, Joshua, you're my friend. Only two of us among the 12 spies who survived. 40 years they survived. And they look as young as the day they went out. And Caleb says, you know those rascals who caused this delay 40 years? Because all the other 10 spies saw these big rascals, you know. And because of them, both of those got delayed 40 years. Give me the mountain! I'm going to crush them. He asked for the mountain where the Anakim is. Because he's going to kill them all. I don't know what he said when he killed them. This is for 10 years! This was for another 10 years! In those days, it was permitted. Now you're born again, Christian, different. But he said, 40 years! 40 years! Those delay because of these fellas. You have your land, your personal peace, your personal mountain. You drive them out. Because God will not violate His word. If He give you authority over sickness and disease, you go and heal. If He give you authority over demons, you go and cast out. When you think Jesus is your servant, you're the one sitting down. And everything is, oh Jesus! Jesus! Jesus, I need bread! Jesus, I need money! Jesus! Oh Jesus! What? You're Jesus, your servant. Something Jesus wants you to do. Stand your ground. Make sure it's not number two. Make sure it's not number three. where you yourself didn't grow enough, didn't grow fast enough, didn't develop the skills you should have by that time. Make sure that you're doing the framing every day, which is why I encourage people to meditate on the word. Take it, look at their vision, and see. Even if you take 5-10 minutes every day of the vision God gives you, and lift up your hands and say, thank you, Lord, I can see it. I believe it. You're just like Abraham looking at the dust and the stars. And every time you do that, the frame is being built. Inside you and inside that special chamber to bring forth to your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy upon each one of our life. We ask, O God, that you establish us, Lord, this understanding. We thank you, Father, for your word and your spirit. Thank you, Father. Let's all rise together as we sing that song. We're standing on holy ground. And we are about to have an all-night prayer afterwards. In fact, we're just 2 minutes away. We just go straight into it. No, I give you all a break. All right. Okay, let's continue the worship. And there are the all-night prayer. Welcome to all-night prayer. Say, why did you come when I came for miracle service? Well, don't worry about that. So, as we stand in God's presence, tonight especially is what I call an anointing night of these creative works. I know there are several layers of anointings we receive. But tonight, especially tonight, you receive authority and power over sickness and disease. You have authority and power to drive out the enemy so that it will not be number two reason for you. Know your authority. Just as Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 verse 1, in Luke chapter 9 verse 1, give power authority. By the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, I have permission to declare over your life that this day forward, you have authority and power over all manner of sickness and disease, over all demons. Let's all worship Him and release that. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Lift up your hands straight up high as you can. And it's the atmosphere above us. And you find your hands right now becoming heated and hotter. It's a outflow of His healing anointing that He confirms in your life. Not all you have that in your hands, you could have it in other areas of your being and body. But that's just a common denominator that is there. But whether you feel anything or nothing tonight, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, commissioning this move of the end time, you came to a miracle service, healthy, whole. Some of you came with ailments in your body that God has healed and touched. And God, not only, this is not just a miracle service, this is an anointing service tonight. And the Lord Jesus right now, through His angels, send forth the anointing upon your lives. Anointing not made by man, nor by the will of man, but of God and the Spirit for these end times. And this day we announce and pronounce over you, including those of you online who are standing right now with hands lifted up. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, in Matthew 10 verse 1, and Luke 9 verse 1, and Matthew 10 verse 1 to the 70s, gave authority and power over all sickness and disease. Our angel Raphael, in August of 2012, he fully confirmed and released upon my life all authority. Four things he did. And one of those things is authority over all sicknesses and diseases. And right now, with that, I impart it into your life to receive all manner of authority over all manner of sickness and diseases, even ones that are not even named yet. And this power authority is like a scroll that has come upon you. And what Deborah saw was a scroll inscribed with words. And that scroll, once you have authority and power over sickness and disease, sickness cannot come near you because you rule over them. They rule, don't rule over you anymore. The law has changed. The law is that you rule over all manner of bacteria, viruses, sickness, disease. And that's authority and power that's imparted into your life this day, through the healing anointing and this wave of healing. Because through your lives, from this day forward, when you pray for the sick, the healing is going to come forth instantly, rapidly. And the healing power of God is going to flow stronger in you than ever before. You would have words of knowledge from time to time. You will know an x-ray and be able to see some manner of sickness, disease that are driven out. Sometimes you see a light on people's body, that you see the Lord doing things in them. That's all part of this healing grace that we impart upon you this day, for being here tonight, being part of these healing services. The Lord bless you. In our conclusion this week, we bless you with authority and power over all sickness and disease, including sickness and diseases that are not even hurt yet. You have power and authority over all them. The scroll that Deborah talked about is now upon your life. It's been copied into you. It's been duplicated into your life this day. And we have done exactly what the Lord wants to do in the word of prophecy. I received it in August 2012, and I copy it and duplicate it digitally into your life. So it's as good as the first copy. Thank you, Father God. Release that spiritually over each life. And let them don't doubt like the disciples did. Let them don't doubt when they pray. Let them fast and pray. And know that all diseases and sickness will obey at their command. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give you a good clap offering. That's a blessing of God. God gave to you. In the conclusion of our first week of the miracle service.